your character, who you are. After all, we're created in your image. But what happened? Sin entered the world and that image got corrupted, and it was because of us. We dismissed it. We pushed your image away. We didn't want to be like your image. And yet inside of us, there's a part of us that cries out, I need fulfillment. I need something. And Lord, we know that part of that is worship. Because you built in us that desire and that need and that yearning to be a part of who you are. To be that image that you created us to be. We fight it and we fight it. But through worship, it comes more clear. We see you more clearly. We understand how that part that's missing can be filled, and we can come back to be your child and to be part of your kingdom. Lord, I pray as we look into your word this morning that you nudge us even closer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I shared some challenging things, I pray. Challenging that we should give God more than just an hour. In fact, remember I mentioned that Satan is happy to give us an hour for God as long as we give him the rest. And that's what it becomes. When we come and we worship God and then we live like who knows what out of this building, away from this worship service, then what is it really? What good is it if we just give God the 1 hour but give Satan the rest? And so the question that I felt needed to be answered was, how do I worship God more than just 1 hour? How do I worship Him for my entire life? How do I worship Him with more than just the hour here in the church service? So the Bible is pretty clear about that. That we should worship God and no other. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20, 108 in the Pew Bible, page number 108, way back to the beginning of the Bible. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to see the first of the Ten Commandments. And basically is telling us what we need to do. Now, in chapter 20, starting in verse 2, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You're not going to put anything before God. And that's what Exodus tells us in the Ten Commandments. You know, we thought about that the other day in Wednesday study. What would the world be like if we all followed, every single person in the whole world followed the Ten Commandments? What do you think it'd be like? Wow. What a change, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be just really amazing if we all followed those Ten Commandments. But, you know, sin corrupted all that. But as believers in Christ, we're supposed to put God first, above all things, and worship Him and Him alone. God is to be the focus, and we're to serve Him, no others. Psalm reiterates that. I want you to go to Psalm 29, that's 797 in the Pew Bibles. Page 797 in the Pew Bibles, chapter or Psalm 29. Starting verse 1. Psalm 29, verse 1. We'll just do the first two verses, 1 and 2. The Psalm of David, it says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. Worship the Lord in splendor of His holiness." And so we're, as people, as believers especially, but as His creation, as people, He wants us to worship Him. Now, you might think that's kind of a weird thing, you know, that God created us and He says, "All right, now worship Me." But when you think of it in the whole picture of what He's done, His creation, and Satan corrupted it. So Satan comes along and he corrupts it and he tells us that we can be like gods. In fact, there's a lot of cults out there that tell us that if we live our lives right and do this and do that, that we can become gods. And we can rule our own little world. But according to the Scripture, the One who created us, He says, "No, that's not the case. You're going to be My children, and I will give you eternal life in heaven." His intention was that the world be perfect and that we live in a perfect society and everything else, that we all live by the Ten Commandments. But you see, that didn't happen because Adam and Eve sinned. They followed Satan rather than God. They gave God His time, but they gave Satan the rest and followed him instead of God. So now we have this corrupt society and we have these people who, "I want this and I want that," and we're doing all our own thing. And so nobody is ascribing to the Lord the worship due His name. Hey, You created all things. You created me. You created me to have a relationship with You. And yet I shun that. And I despise You in the course of that. It's kind of like raising a child. You ever raise a child and have that child say, "I hate you"? Occasionally that happens. You ever have a dog and it bites you when you go to feed it? Sorry, Jay. And this is the corrupt society. And that's the same thing that we did with God. Is that God created us and He wanted the world to be perfect. And we turned around and slapped Him in the face. And He said, "I don't want you. I hate you. And I want to live my own life." And God says, "But wait a minute. If you do this, if you worship Me, if you follow Me, if you trust Me with your life, I'll give you joy and fulfillment." And some of us have chosen that, and we realize, wow, life is so much better with God in it. And and besides that, and the icing on the cake, is that not only is this world now tolerated by me, by my belief, by my fulfillment, but now I have heaven waiting for me when this life is over. And a place of peace and joy with no more suffering or sorrow. Psalm 99 continues with that. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 99. And it says in verse 9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." You see, the thing about God is that He's holy. He doesn't change. He doesn't shift. He doesn't have any darkness, no creases, no hidden sin. No part of Him is any of that at all. In fact, we've read about his character and who he is. And one of the scriptures that we're going through in Wednesday night study is, it says, God is love. And we have no concept of that because the love that we have is so twisted and darkened by philosophies of this world and all the things that go on in this world. We think that love is that warm, fuzzy feeling and goosebumps and jumping in bed with somebody. And that's not love. You know, but God is love. God is perfect. God is holy. And every part of Him is so beyond our understanding. And so we're told, exalt Him and worship Him because He is worth worship. Worship is supposed to be a part of our lives, not just Sunday. But then we ask the question then, if it's part of our entire life, if we can do this outside the church, who needs the church? You know, can't we worship God outside the church and then forget the church? Well, what do we need this building for? What do we need to get together for? What do we need some raving idiot in the front speaking out and telling us what we have to do? And pointing fingers at us and making us feel like, oh, I'm not really filling up to this thing and I'm not doing what I should do. You know, and what do we need preachers for? What do we need anything for? Why can't we just worship God out there somewhere and it's all good? Because a few weeks ago I preached a message about the body of Christ. And it talked about the body of Christ being many members. And we all work together for the unity of the Spirit. It's a unity of spirit. Now we worship God in unity. Now just imagine if you at home or wherever you're going to be and you're missing a hand. How easy would it be to do the task that you have at home without a hand? You know, without a leg. Well, now we get by. We get prosthetics and we get things that make it tolerable. But I want to tell you, somebody who has lost a leg or lost a limb or lost anything, they don't wish that they, you know, could be that way all the time. They would have rather kept that limb. They would rather be a whole person. And now they get by and they make it happen, and no matter what the handicap is, we push through it and we do what we have to do. But the body of Christ is supposed to be a whole body. We're all supposed to work together for the common good, for what the Holy Spirit wants, for what God wants, and worship as a body. Those who are missing, those who are out there saying, you know, I can worship God somewhere else and I don't need to come to the church, are limiting the church. They're limiting the body. They're willfully saying, ah, they can do without me. And so we try to get along without them. But it's not so easy. The church struggles. There are certain ministries that we have. It would be sure great to have extra people. It sure would be nice if the church was full of people who were committed to the Lord, who wanted to serve Him and want to go out and share the gospel with those around them. I was listening to testimonies online. One of the sermon times, I'm going to share some of those. But this one man said, yeah, I didn't know anything till my neighbor came and shared and said, hey, you want to go to church with me? The guy shrugged his shoulders and said, okay. He went to church that day and became a Christian because he trusted in Christ as a Savior. One time, asked. I'll bet that neighbor was wishing he had asked way before then. You know, how many times we pass by somebody that we know? It doesn't have to be a complete stranger. It could be somebody we see all the time. And how many times we pass by him and never ask, never say a thing? But now we're talking about worship, and I want us to go to John chapter 4, 16, 19 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 4 and verse 23. Now, in this particular scripture, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Remember the Samaritan woman? You know, and the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. They were, they had a lot of animosity toward one another. And Jesus is sitting at this well, and she, of course, you know, saying, "Hey, what's the deal? You're a Jew, and here I'm a Samaritan, and you're talking to me, a woman, no less." And you know, which men did, just didn't talk to women, and it was one of those things. Well, you know, he's telling her about the gospel, basically. You know, believe in me. In verse 21, he tells her that there's a time coming when they're going to worship on the mountain, or not on the mountain and not in Jerusalem, but they're going to worship God. And in verse 23, he says, "The time is coming and now has come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Well, so what does that mean? You know, it's kind of a confusing thing. Worship in spirit and truth. Does that mean we got to go into some kind of a mystic trance and worship God that way? And that's not what it's saying. You see, because these people, they worship God out of this legalistic or routine, this tradition. And they would go to the mountain, or they would go to Jerusalem, and they would just go, "All right, you know, Lord, Father, thank you." And they'd quote all these different scriptures and whatever it was, and they would just go through the motions. And Jesus is telling the woman here, he said, that there's a time coming, now come, when you're going to worship in spirit and truth. And he told that, what Franz shared with us a week or 2 weeks ago about Nicodemus and about you must be born again. That's how you worship in spirit. Because you must be born again. Before, that wasn't there. Because Jesus hadn't come on the scene. So until he dies and rises again, people don't have any way of worshiping in spirit because the Holy Spirit's not around. I mean, the Holy Spirit does things here and there, but he wasn't indwelling the people. And so Jesus now, he says, you're going to worship in spirit and in truth. Because remember, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So now this time comes, and we, as believers in Christ, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, now we have the Spirit. And we can worship in spirit and in truth. Worshipping Jesus Christ as our Savior and worshipping by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not always singing. It's not always reading the Scriptures out loud. It's not always doing, you know, the preaching and all those kinds of things that we do and we think are all part of worship. It's not always that. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's alone. Sometimes it's in your room. Or even driving down the road, driving in a church, driving to work, or home from work. Romans chapter 12, I want you to go there now. 1724 in your pew Bibles. 1724, Romans 12. Paul says it very clearly here. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers," in verse 1, "in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You see what it's telling us here now? It says we're to offer our bodies. You know, that's a sacrifice. As living sacrifices. Well, if you know anything about sacrifices, if you heard anything or you know anything about it, there's an altar. And the animal, or the person, or the thing to be sacrificed, lays on the altar, and they kill it on the altar. You know, they let the blood out. Now, this wasn't done just in Christian or Jewish tradition, but it was also done in pagan tradition. They killed many different things as sacrifices. But you didn't find the sacrifice getting up and walking away. They didn't lop part of it off or partly kill it. It was all killed. It never got up off the altar. And here we're told to give ourselves as living sacrifices. Well, how are you a living sacrifice? Well, you lay yourself on the altar and you give everything you are to God. It says this is your spiritual act of worship. It's not laying halfway on the altar. It's not putting your arm on the altar. You can have my arm, but not the rest of me. You can have this part, but not that part. Because I got some things I want to do yet. And I don't want to, you know, just let's leave it there. Everything that I am, everything I want, everything I need, everything I love is His. Because I lay my life on His altar and I give everything to Him. It's a very tough thing to do. So, the question again comes up, and we're going to answer this question with this next scripture. How do we worship God when we leave here? How do we do it? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 17:43 in your pew Bibles, 17:43. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The last verse, or almost the last verse, verse 31, is the answer. It says, so whenever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. This is the answer to how to worship God in everything you do. Can you bring glory to God or honor His name in all the things that you do outside of this building? Do you bring glory to Him or dishonor Him? Kids, your video games. You know, I know you like them. I know they're pretty cool and are pretty exciting. But can you give glory to God with your games? Or do you dishonor Him with your games? And I know some of those games, because occasionally I drive a bus and I hear kids talking about them. And I know the kind of games that are out there. And I know some of them, probably most of them, don't bring glory to God. Do you thank God for your food all the time? Do you praise Him for your life, for your sight, for your health, for your friends, for your family, for His Word? How about TV? Let's just throw it all out there. Programs you watch on TV, do they bring glory to God or do they dishonor Him? When you drive home and look at creation, are you in awe of it or are you just miserable driving home going, I hate work. I just want to get home and turn on that one TV program I like all the time. When you drive to work, are you praising God for a job? You're saying, you know, boy, I praise You because of what You're doing in my life. You can worship Him in all the things that you do, even when you get that flat tire, even when your health doesn't go right, even when the trial comes, It's there to shape us into His image. Because this life isn't going to last forever. Eternal life will, but not this life. And you know what? I see it over and over again, and I hear it from people. Yeah, I saw you the other day. You're being watched. Wherever you go, are you praising God when you're being seen? Or are you miserable, complaining, grouchy, negative? All those things that nobody wants to see, nobody wants to be around. I've had people tell me, I saw you driving down the road, you're smiling and you look like you're talking to yourself. Oh boy. And I have to pray more without moving my lips. And sometimes it's a song on the radio and it's just like, wow, what a song. I mean, this morning, driving in the church, there was a song on the radio, it's Christ Living in Me. And it was just like, oh my goodness, what a great song. I was singing it along with them. And I was just praising God, looking at the colors, looking at the sun coming up, and all the things that God has created. And it was just like, oh my goodness. And I get to go to church. And I get to share this message with people. And I get to tell people that they can worship God all the time. It's a fantastic job. Sorry. I think that if we have that same excitement for the Lord out there, wow, what a change in the world it would be. Maybe we won't change the whole entire world, but I tell you what, Crandon and Forest County would change. Because they would say, oh my gosh, what's going on with those people in Praise Chapel? It's like they've been infected with something. Amen is right. We want to be infected with God's truth, with His worship, with His praise, with His glory, with His honor. And to be so infected and so awed at Him and what He has done that we can't contain ourselves outside this building. That's what it talks about when it says it bubbles up and over. That's what we want to be. And I want to tell you, sometimes we're not. Sometimes I'm not. And the times that I'm not, we need to slap ourselves and say, Lord, forgive me that I don't recognize You. That I've let Satan get a hold of me and take me out of Your will and take me out of Your worship. Remember, Satan will give you 1 hour. He wants the rest. Because if he has the rest and you only give God 1 hour, chances are you're not giving God your life. You haven't trusted Him. And I want to tell you that if you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, now is the time. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next week. You may not get it. I've done enough funerals of people who expected to retire, who expected to go to Rhinelander for something, expected to go down to Wausau for a trip, expected to go see their grandkids, expected to see their own kids. Kids that expected to go home after school and didn't make it. So don't tell me that you got all the time you need, because you don't. I want us to close in prayer and before we sing our last song. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you, I urge you, I beg you, accept Jesus as your Savior as I pray. Father, we come to You with humble hearts. Hearts that are broken because we have not given You our lives. Well, we give You 1 hour, but we don't give You our lives. Lord, I pray if there's those here that are struggling with that and have not, that have pushed you away, that maybe they don't know what they want, but they know what's going on right now in their lives is not working. Lord, I pray they would pray, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life and fill it with your Spirit, that I might worship you all the time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. For giving me a new life. And Lord, I pray that those of us that maybe we've been Christians for a long time and we've just got old. We just get tired. I pray, Lord, that you renew our spirits. That you build in us the excitement. Because there's nothing greater or better than having eternal life and being saved and being forgiven from our sin. Lord, this is the greatest thing that could ever happen. Better than anything in this world that it could ever give. And Lord, I pray that we have that excitement as we leave this place today. And as we sing this last song, as we sing Holy, 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 that it's with our entire heart, our entire soul, that you will never be set on the side ever again. Lord, we pray now that you fill us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and we'll sing two verses of Holy, 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 be the first and last verses.